You're tuned to Belfast Community Radio. That's WBFYLP, broadcasting at 100.9 FM in Belfast, Maine, and streaming on the internet at wbfy.me. What follows are interviews with candidates for Belfast City Mayor and City Councillor. In this hour, we'll hear from Eric Sanders, who is running unopposed for mayor, and from Mike Hurley, who is running unopposed to retain his seat on the City Council. We have another hour block in which Brenda Bonneville and Sophia Ridgely Fuller will discuss their candidacies for the City Council. Thank you for your attention and for participating in your city government.
Welcome. I'm Rhonda Feynman.
We are talking to Eric Sanders today. He's running for mayor. He's currently the Ward 3 councillor.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the first question. Mayor, councillor, why the change, Eric?
10 years on the council, and I remember when Roger Lee sat next to me to my right for 6 years. That seemed to be a good measurement. So 6 years came and went. And because I watched Roger in the last summer of his thing, and he was like, you know, 1 foot in, 1 foot out. And I always admired him, his passion. So I was going to give it 6 years. And then my kids and Courtney said, you should run again. So I ran for the 8 years. And then I was going to run for mayor 2 years ago. And I didn't, because Walter said he was going to run one more time. So I thought that was fine. I supported Walter as one supports somebody. And Walter lost, Samantha won. And then I decided to run because I was going to run. And I think that I don't vote as mayor, but I think that I will be just as listened to just as much as I am as a council person. In the 10 years, we haven't had that many close votes and stuff. So I think influencing is a good thing. And it doesn't really matter whether you have a vote or not to be able to influence people. So there was that. And then I thought the last couple of years have been rather turbulent. That's the word I use, just for lack of a better phrase. And I wanted to bring a little less turbulence to the seat, if possible, and get stuff done, because we've got a lot of stuff going on.
So what's going on?
Well, we have the Nordic thing, which is 2 years in the making, and that's still going on. We have lots of ideas for improvements and little revenue to pay for it. I'm a bit of a financial hawk, which is just the way I'm built. I was listening to the candidates night the other night, people saying, oh, my taxes have doubled in the last 15 years. And, you know, mine haven't. So either the prices of their houses went up accordingly to cause that, but taxes, property taxes have continued to become an issue. And we've been running really lean. People may not feel that way, but I think that we go through every line item. And right now, we need to be looking for sources of revenue so that we can alleviate some tax pressure, so we can get more people to want to live here instead of the surrounding towns like Belmont, Searsmont. My kids go to school with all these kids. I've coached them throughout their youth, and they all live, you know, because the property taxes are less. So that's still going on. Tractor supplies going through and stuff like that. But I think that we are behind the ball in vision. And in the last 10 years, we were able to build the rail trail and the harbor walk, and we got Front Street, or they showed up and we figured that out, and that worked out. And so I think other things can happen in the next 10 years. You need to be ready and not shocked when something new shows up, and be able to, does that fit into your vision of the future for Belfast?
For those who were at the candidates forum, what I have here are a whole bunch of questions for all the candidates that were not asked. These are some of the ones that were left over. And one of them, which you dovetails very nicely into what you were just saying, Eric Sanders, who's running for mayor, is what is your vision of Belfast in the next 10 years or the next 20 years?
I saw recently on Facebook that at the Belfast Library, Megan Panett or somebody was showing Belfast in the 80s. And there's a picture there. Doesn't it look vastly different than today? So change happens, whether people want it to or not. But if you go back and look at the historical decades in the past, we are already vastly different than we were 20, 30 years ago, and we will continue to be. So I think some of that comes in the form of planning. and what do you allow, what do you want in town and what do you allow in town? And of course, the planning board and all kinds of people are involved in that. But then, you know, if somebody shows up and they want, and it seems like a good deal, do you have the capability? Does it fit into your vision of the future? I think Belfast, the population is great. I mean, do we want it to be 30,000? I don't, right? But vision-wise, we have an aging school. We have, and it's not on the short list to be built anytime soon. We have an aging population in the state, and we have youth numbers that are down in general in the state. So that, you know, how do you prepare for that, and how does Belfast fit into that? So Front Street Shipyard, I think, fits in well because they're actually getting a lot of work from away, right? These yachts that have a lot of money or whatever, they come here from away, and they do the work, and people from here work on them. And I think one of the things I was struck by with Front Street was the amount of artistic ability by the craftsmen that do the work and the trainability of that craftsmanship for kids coming out of high school or college. So I think that fits in well with our future. Are we going to grow a little bit? Probably. We're going to have good times, bad times. Revenue is important. A buffer is important. Look at Bucksport, just not because of Nordic and their fish farm, but because because Bucksport lost their plant, but they happen to have $8.4 million in built-up tax savings, right? So they were able to absorb until they resettled, reinvented themselves. People are talking about the reinvention, but did they?
Did they? I don't know.
I don't think it's still Bucksport.
But so right. So there is that idea of what's good growth, what's too much growth, how do we maintain the community that we have? What's appropriate and what as a mayor, as a councillor?
Well, again, father of three, I think the first point I'd like to make is I'd like to get young families in here. Nothing beats having kids on the street, on their bike, safely on their bikes, walking around doing kid things. Nothing beats that. So younger families, and so therefore you look at pay scale of younger families. You know, are they professionals? Are they working class like me? What are they?
Livable wages.
Right.
That's another question. How do we bring that into our community?
Well, one of the ways we do that is we get a hold of some market rate housing. And Congress Street, the Public Works, it was not just moving Public Works to Crocker Road that was enticing about this. It was opening up that area for redevelopment potentially, which we're going to have a meeting about with the community on Tuesday about.
That's the 29th?
Yeah, at 7 o'clock, I think, at City Hall. That's what is advertised on Facebook.
And for those who are, because we will be replaying this, for those who missed that, it will probably be rebroadcast, I hope.
Yes. So we're looking, you know, you're looking at maybe 40, 50 apartments. There's some other things going on right now that I can't talk about that may add to that in a good news way in terms of housing. But I think that chronic housing issues are not foreign to Belfast, Maine. A lot of cities up and down the coast. The coast itself, the population projections indicate by 2030 or 50, you know, a lot more people are going to live on the mid-coast area than do today. What are their age ranges? What do they do? Are they retired? You know, we talked the other night about Airbnb and empty houses. So you want steady revenue, which right now we don't have much more than we can budget for. So we're looking for smart growth, right? And I guess the classic question with Nordic is, does that fit a pattern of smart growth? I think that's a fair question for both sides.
Right.
And one side says yes, other side says hell no. And, you know, there you go.
Yeah. How do we have that conversation in a civil manner, I think, is what's on a lot of people's minds. And that we did talk about that a little bit on the candidates forum. But so I guess the question is, if you see incivility mounting, how do you intervene and help that situation as a councillor, as a mayor?
Well, and as a father.
And a father.
And a manager at Bank of America and in the corporate world. And, you know, one doesn't lose their temper. And you're not allowed. One would never do. You can't do. There are certain things I would never do at the workplace that sometimes you see happening at city council meetings. Probably not by me. but sometimes by the council or the public. And that's losing your tempers or getting too passionate. There's a parameter of civility that will help civility, a tunnel, if you will. And if people don't go too far to the left or right, there's a better chance of that working. And I feel, a good example is I try to use humor. I'm just trying to be real, right? Is it so important that we lose our tempers at each other when we live in the same community? No, it can't be. Otherwise, that's not my ideal of a community. It's okay to be passionate and to argue, but at some point, quick story, the Beatles, because I'm a Beatles freak, Paul and John, classically, as they got more and more famous, their egos got bigger and all of that. At one point, John said something to Paul, and Paul was erupting, and John just had those granny glasses, and he wrote, hey, Paul, it's just me, John. You know, you have to be able to make up, you know, and you're not always successful, but you have to want to try. So for everybody, you know, not picking on anybody, I think civility is a good thing and better than the passion being too much.
So I know that certain things happened in the past year or two on social media that escalated situations. Would you think that would it be appropriate for councilors to not engage on social media? To not escalate the situation?
Is that one of the questions? That's a great question.
Not responding personally on social media, keep sticking to the issue, not the...
I'm of two minds. One is, as long as if you can control yourself, then it's great. But if people go over the edge, then what's the Waterville mayor guy? What's his name? Ispro or whatever. You know, he stormed out of the council meeting because the Columbus Day Indigenous people and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's not cool. And so social media, sometimes I read things or I see things and I go, that's not cool, you know. Right. But and the other sides, too. I think that you could do a rule where the council or the mayor or whoever can't be on social media.
Or stick to the issues.
But if I wasn't on social media, there was, I think it was, I can't remember, Mandy Marin or Everett left the candidates night and took a picture because the lights were out on the Harbor Walk. And that was Monday night. So I saw it on Tuesday. And yesterday morning, I called Norman Gilmore, who's the building whatever director. He's a friend, right? I mean, we're friends in this town. And I'm like, hey, the lights are out down by the boathouse. And so last night after play practice at the high school, after work, I went down to make sure, and they were on. And I took a picture, and I put it on social media, and I got like all these likes, like thank you. I'm like, I didn't, you know.
Yeah.
But it's a great tool to communicate too. So I'd be careful.
Sure. Yeah. When there's incivility, which as a public figure, sadly, these things happen. So as an elected official, is there a different standard? There's a cartoon that says...
I try to.
Yeah, I always thought my best thoughts have come after I press send.
Yeah. That's
right.
I think it is often... I'm learning over... I've been on Facebook 10 years. So I've learned often it's better to almost send it and then wait. And then I erase it, right? I mean, that's what I do. But we don't have a very good leader in chief at the moment with his Twitter stuff as an example. And I do think, although people will deny that it has any impact on them, I think the upfront in your faceness of some social medias today is a genuine reflection of our country, which, you know, whether we think we're not part of it or not, we are. Even down east here on the mid-coast. And you read the Bangor Daily News comment sections and some of the bile on that, like, oh, yeah, yay. So
we have to, as Michelle Obama would say, we have to go high.
Yeah, I think so. I think I would agree. And I think former President Obama has done that as well. And I would rather do that and let the people that are ranting rant. But I do think there is value, extreme value, in calmness and not overreacting and not pointing fingers and trying to be genial. And it was the way I was raised. So I think that's okay.
We are talking with Eric Sanders. This is Belfast Community Radio. I'm Rhonda Feynman. This is part of our series of interviewing all the candidates right now running for mayor and running for city council. A couple of things have come up. Some of the questions, most of the questions here are ones that did not get asked at the forum. So a new and larger food pantry is being built in Belfast. And
yes.
Ordinarily, We might celebrate when we're building a new and better facility in our community, but in this case, it's indicative of a really larger community need. How would you address the reality of food insecurity in Belfast? How do we address this lack of this basic need? What can we do for our neighbors?
First of all, kudos to them building it. And I get that a lot. You know, oh, great, you're doing that, but it doesn't solve anything. Well, it doesn't hurt anything either. And it may lead to connections with other answers. Food insecurity, home insecurity, couch surfing, all the stuff this year especially, and I don't know why, but it has seemed to be amping up. And I do think a lot of that can go back to, are people really better off now than they were in 1994 or whatever, when you were young or older, or, you know, but food insecurity is something that is not cool. And I do know, you know, down at Redmond Hall, let me say the word, Redmond Hall, right? I'm sorry. You know, they feed a lot of people. I'm here to help people, and feeding people, if we can, is helping. The larger problem to that is out of my hands in terms of, I don't know how or why they are in their particular position. We have general assistance, which is a very good program. We did get zinged by the state a couple of years ago to the tune of $100,000. Thank you, Belfast, for helping everybody. Now, you messed up, so you owe the state $100,000. I mean, that's what happened, although we were following the rules. So I think a lot of this comes from the state.
Is things changing with the new administration?
Yeah, we received some back of the monies that had been taken away under LePage in terms of revenue sharing, some. It stands to reason that social service programs also are receiving some confidence. I'm not one to say that that has caused anything, because, again, out of my comfort zone of knowledge, but it doesn't hurt to have more money and more people helping, which will help ease food insecurity. We are at a 3% unemployment rate. So if people are working and have jobs and still have food insecurity, then that's more of a question of, are people getting paid what they're worth?
Right.
Kind of out of the realm of the mayor of Belfast, in my opinion.
We are having...
Except for city employees.
My next question, the follow-up. We are having a problem with maintaining? What's going on with...
I hadn't heard that either.
Okay.
I've never met anybody who doesn't think that they're worth more money than they're being paid, right? Me, you, everybody.
But sometimes there isn't a livable wage, and it's...
Livable wages are under definition. You know, proud to be part of Bank of America that decided to go to $20 an hour by 2020 or whatever it is, 2021. No other corporations followed up and did the same thing. Weird. But the answer is, in with the city of Belfast, is how many employees do we have? Do we have all we need? Are they happy with morale? I would start with that before I start with wages. Wages on city employment are, you know, steps. And steps are, if you've been here this many years, you get this step, which is a raise, right? And do we need to lift the bottom up? Do we need to, you know, these are questions that we'll get to together as a council and figure out. We don't want to lose any city employees. I know there was talk of one city employee, a gentleman who worked for 3.5 years or something at the transfer station, loved his job, but he went to Rockland where he was going to make double as a welder. Probably does make double as a welder. That's his life choice. It doesn't mean that the city did anything wrong, in my view, with his wage at the transfer station, but he couldn't resist the opportunity to double his money being a welder in Rockland. If that is losing employees for the wrong reason, I don't know. But my sense, I talked to a lot of city employees, and I'm more concerned with morale and how are they doing with that, because all of them do a wonderful job, in my view. Very little or any complaints ever from the public about anything that the city of Belfast employees to do. As a matter of fact, they're held in high esteem by everybody I know, so we don't want to lose them because of that. If they're not making enough money, I'm sure they'll let us know, and we'll make the right adjustments. But retention of employees, as you can imagine, with 3% unemployment, the tables get switched real quick, don't they, where the employer has to make sure that they keep them, versus in the past 10 years after the financial crisis, the employer was just very... selective in who they hired, because all of these people were available.
So getting back to our civility issue, how do you represent citizens who disagree with you? How do we...
The same as I represent people that agree with me. Hopefully you'll find often that you don't know how the hell I feel about something. That's one of my goals as mayor. It's not my job always for you to know how I feel, because my job as mayor is probably going to be done a little bit differently than the past, whereas I'm going to make sure that the council feels comfortable, the public feels comfortable, and the work gets done effectively on the agenda. And if somebody loses their cool, I'll point it out, call a recess, and that's public or council. But the job of mayor without a vote is different than council. But I think it's more important. And this is not anything to do with Samantha or Walter or anybody. Isn't it strange, but people view mayor as somebody they can talk to about anything. But I've been on council 10 years and hardly ever anybody talked about it. You know, they all know I'm on council, but you know, now that I'm running for mayor, I'm like, well, I don't have a vote. Yeah, but you're going to be mayor. So I don't know what that means. But I will tell you that I always represent everybody, especially if I disagree with them, because isn't that what democracy is supposed to be? I grew up in the 60s in Missouri, where there were fans of George Wallace. I remember I was watching TV when Robert Kennedy got assassinated, and I went downstairs and I said to my mom and dad, Robert F. Kennedy just got shot. And they're like, oh, no. And I made them come upstairs to watch. Our TV was upstairs. Those were terrible times.
Yeah.
Are these terrible times? History will tell us in 40 years. But you can't sit around today and say, oh, these are the worst times or the best of times. History on the back end always takes care of it. I'm going to represent everybody. The people that are against, I'll say this, people that are against the Nordic, I support Nordic Aqua. I call it Aqua Farms. I guess it's Aqua Cold. I don't know what is Nordic. I support the idea. The revenue is tremendous. The people I trust, I like them. If it doesn't work out, it's very sad. But it's in the courts now, it seems. Nothing to do with the city. But the people that are against it that live in the city, I treat them with the same respect that I treat everybody else, because I should.
We are here with Eric Sanders and asking all these questions that were not asked at the community candidate forum that happened the other day. One of the ones that did not get asked at the forum was about term limits. There are a lot of people who've been on the council for quite a number of years. What's your opinion on term limits?
I think I would support that. I think that I've been on there 10 years and I decided to run for mayor. So what do we get? We get two women running. So now we know that at least 40% of the council is going to be women. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. If there were term limits, that would have happened. I don't know in terms of charter from, 1242 or whenever it was written, what it says. But, there was a candidate 4 years ago that ran against me, Ryan Harnden. They tried to make a bitter thing between me and him. And he and I were like, no, we're not playing ball with that. I will tell you, I think he would have made a fine city councilor. Had I lost, he would have done well. And even though he's a Republican, I got to say this about, and I know the question's about term limits, but I want to say this, and I want to make sure this gets in the interview. I do not feel that city government has any need for people to be Democrat or Republican or Libertarian or whatever. City government, city council, if I'm representing everybody in the city, that's everybody. I don't get to choose a Democratic Party or a Republican Party. And that has fallen out of favor, too, I think, over the years. As politics has slowly but surely reared its ugly head into city politics. 10 years ago, I ran against a lobsterman and I won by 100 votes. And he seemed like a nice guy, too. Like, to me, it's all about who do you want representing you and not what party they're from. I will say the same thing with term limits. 10 years is more than enough. And change is good, and move along. Fine with that. It's not where we're at, but I'd be more than happy with that.
You were discussing Eric Sanders, who's running for mayor, ideas about kids. And one of the questions, which hadn't come up before, is can we have a playground on the waterfront? It would be wonderful for kids to have a place to play so close to downtown and the Harbor Walk.
Okay, because Waterfront City Park has the children's playground right below the pool. That's city property. But the later part of the question now says Harbor Walk, in downtown. Sure.
Okay. All right.
Make it so.
Make it so.
I mean,
engage.
You know, how about a new skateboard park too, right?
Right.
I mean, that's, I think, older kids, but kids. I think anything we can do to bring youth into the downtown is a solid idea. If it's a playground, it's great. There's one up on Wells Park, the top of the hill near where we live, and I see families using it all the time. I see kids down at City Park. If you had them down closer, absolutely. But all dogs must be on a leash.
Thank you very much. Yes, indeed. Eric Sanders speaks. Okay. People wanted to know about carbon neutral. How are we going to be carbon neutral by 2030?
That's interesting. I was just at a Climate Crisis Committee meeting at 8 o'clock. How timely a question is that? The Climate Crisis Committee, it would appear, is going to approach the Council Climate to Thrive, ACTT, out of Bar Harbor, has done all these wonderful things with their school and all of that, and solar panels. So it's all tied together, folks. 60 to 65 cents of your every dollar of property taxes go to the schools. The schools just did a $10 million rebuild. No solar panels included in that. That was advised. But we don't run the schools, and that's cool, right? So this committee has worked with Bar Harbor Schools to do that. The Climate Crisis Committee is going to be trying to do that. It would certainly go helpful. The city's paying for 100% of its electricity right now for with our solar fields at Pitcher Hill and the new one at Crocker Road. But also the Climate to Thrive is looking at things like heat pumps, going back out into the community versus just city buildings. Paying for 100% of the city's buildings' electricity is not paying for the city's electricity. The city put in 6 charging stations, or I saw them Sunday morning on a flatbed down at Bridge Street, electric vehicles. The Climate Crisis Committee is looking to augment its work into the Energy Committee's sphere, filling in all of these things with the consumers of Belfast, the families, such as solar panel deals. It's a good time. People are looking to buy properties in and around Belfast just to put solar fields. So there must be some deal going on with legislation right now that makes it, things are happening and will continue to happen. My understanding is they're going to try to get on the council's November 5th, same day as election night thing, to present this to the council. And if so, they're going to work with students because they have a climate committee team now at the school, a group, and they're going to try to get this happening. So the schools are one thing. Troy Howard already has a solar panel. I live in a house not built in 1930. Insulation is for crap. And my Thermopride furnace has got to be 25, 30 years old. So if and when I get a new furnace, I'll probably go a heat pump. I don't even understand how heat pumps work, but it does seem to be environmentally the right thing to do. And I'll probably get some solar panels. And if I and everybody else down the line does that, and if electric cars become affordable, then the Sanders family may make a move, right? But we're only going to get carbon, zero carbon, if everybody in the city. So some of that's education. I recently went by myself to the First Church because the reverend there asked me to come talk to people at some cinnamon night or something, coffee night, and about 10 people there. And they were wonderful people, and they knew nothing about energy savings. So a lot of this is getting, it's one thing for us to understand it. It's another thing for people that don't understand it to understand it. And I think that's when you'll get a lot of positive changes. But we're doing a lot of things as a city. The Energy Committee did bang up work. Climate Crisis Committee is doing good work. The council clearly is very supportive of it. And that's where we're at.
It's WBFY. It's Candidates Interviews. It's Eric Sanders running for
Coffee
mayor.
With the Candidates.
Coffee with the Candidates. Oh, well, there you go. We might have another, that might be a show. We'll have to discuss it another time. I want to thank you for joining us. More information, more questions, go to the Candidates Forum on the Belfast Community Radio Facebook page and Belfast Community Media, and you can learn more. November 5th, be there. You vote for all candidates. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to Mayor Candidate Eric Sanders, interviewed by Rhonda Feynman of the WBFY Public Affairs Department. Please stay tuned. In the next half an hour, we'll be hearing from another candidate for office here in the city of Belfast.